Ramsey TV.
But Martin, the United States Constitution limits the things that the government can do to you. The United States Constitution champions the individual. The government serves us. We are the superior authorities, and we elect representatives to send to the capital of the United States to represent our interests. Yes, I understand that. And apparently, those who are making these objections, of course, I understand you're upset about certain things in the government. I am too. But you're missing the whole point. The whole point being that we are to be subject to governments that don't do that. Governments that rip up the Constitution. Governments that do not recognize that they are there to serve you. And of course, we should try to vote good people into power who will recognize the Constitution, who will follow the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Yes, the Bill of Rights. You have rights that the government cannot touch. Ideally, yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. And for the most part, in the United States, it works that way. So thank God for that. But around the world, it doesn't always work that way. In Rome, it didn't necessarily work that way. Nevertheless, as I said yesterday, there was some law and order. Even in a bad government, they keep things kind of tight, They may go overboard. Oh, and on the issue of guns, somebody brought that up because I brought it up yesterday. I know what the Second Amendment is for. I know. I was born at night, but not last night. To protect you from the government. The right to bear arms to protect you from a government that has gone awry. I understand that. And so when the government breaks down and the government comes after you, what do you do? What do you do? Paul is telling you what you do. Vote people in. If you want to affect the system, then vote people in who will protect your rights. That's the best government you can have. We all want to live under good government. But this is what you do under bad government. Instead of getting all put out, instead of losing your mind, instead of losing your peace, just submit. Be subject to the superior authorities. It's that simple. If they come to take your guns, give them your guns. I know what people are saying now in the United States. I know. I follow politics. Martin, there's going to be a civil war if they come take our guns. Just try to take the guns of an American. Yeah, it worked in Australia. Worked in wimpy countries, you know, like, I won't say. But it ain't going to work here. Yeah, I know. It's not going to work here. It would be amusing to watch. It really would. But you, as an individual, you must not go along with the herd mentality. Somebody else said, Martin, it's a great thing. Thank God that, how can you say that being in subject to government is bad? It's a good thing our founding fathers didn't think that way, or there wouldn't be the United States of America. Yeah. If you had lived in that time, you would have no business rebelling against the Great Britain. King George, you would have, no, Paul says, do not. So our founding fathers, as ingenious as they were not members of the body of Christ, and they trampled over Romans 13. They didn't give a damn what Paul said. They were proud people who wanted their shit, and they didn't want to be bossed over by somebody else. Proud, arrogant, self-righteous people. You know, I'm not saying I haven't benefited from their sin. I benefited from the sin of the Romans who killed Jesus Christ. I have benefited from the sin of the Jews who killed Christ. But if I had been there, I wouldn't have killed Christ. You see, we are not to kill Christ. We are not to rebel against the superior authorities. We are not to shoot them when they come to the door for our guns. Oh yeah, take my gun, will you? No, we're not to do that. We're to say, here's your gun, sir. Here's my gun, sir. And here's a chocolate cake that my wife baked for you. Yes, that's what Paul says in Romans 12. If your enemy is hungry, give him the morsel. You'll be heaping burning coals upon his head. I have a feeling that maybe if you were to give the superior authority who came for your guns, if you were to give that individual or individuals a chocolate cake, they might look around and say, okay, I'll tell you what, you can keep yours, okay? This cake is great, and we'll be back next week for some more. I'm telling you, blessings will follow. So you would have had no business if if you had lived in the colonies, to go along with the revolution. Because Paul says, be subject to King George, the superior authority.
I wouldn't mind talking like this.
You are not to pick up guns and shoot people who are doing things you don't like. That is not your place. If other people want to do it, let them do it. And if they do it and you happen to come under a better system, well, okay, thank God. Thank God for the stupid idiots who rebelled, okay? Thank God for the stupid idiots who crucified Christ. Same thing. Thank God for the stupid idiots who crucified Christ. Oh, but Martin Zender, I always like this. This happens every time. I say something. I say a solid teaching in the scriptures, and somebody goes, yeah, but Martin, what if? I get it all the time. With the sovereignty of God, too. God created evil. Oh, yeah, Martin, but what if? And people try to come up with some evil that I've never heard before. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. They sit up all night thinking of the worst evil possible. Let's see, what can we? We've already said a six-year-old gets raped. I know. Martin, what if a five-year-old gets raped? Oh, my God, you know. Same with this. But, Martin, what if? What if the government tells you to take the mark of the beast? Ask me a hard question. Really, ask me a hard one. Then, well, I'll just tell you what I would do. Well, for one thing, we're not going to be around when the mark of the beast comes around, okay? But let's say we were. I'm going to give you some great advice. Paul would give you the same advice, and this advice will serve you well. This advice will serve you well, and it will cause you to be able to buy shit during those days. Not that we're going to be here, because we're not. This is hypothetical. I'm doing this to make a point. What if they come up and tell me to take the mark of the beast? I would say, give me two. Give me two. Give me two. On my forehead, where do you want it? All right. Give me two. Give me two. Because you cannot, you're in the body of Christ. You cannot be harmed by the mark of the beast. That's why I say, give me two. One here, I don't care. Go ahead. Put it in there. Put it in there. There. Now I can buy and sell stuff. Yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that simple? Because we can't be affected. We're sealed. We're secured in the body of Christ. Taking the mark of the beast because of subjection to what Paul says, subjection to the superior authorities, is much different than taking the mark of the beast because you are honoring and respecting and lauding the beast because you're in the program of the beast. That's what most Christians will be, actually part of the beast system. So of course they're going to take the mark of the beast because they're into the beast. They're into it. You and me, we're not into the beast, okay? We're into Romans 13. Not many people are. Yeah, but Martin, I'm waiting for the next one. Go ahead. Stay up all night. Think of another situation. I've already dealt with, but Martin, what if they tell me to kill my kids? Martin, what if our great founding fathers had never revolted? Martin, what if they tell me to take the mark of the beast? If you can top any of these, try me. Okay, back to Dwayne Gallantine. This is the man that has been appealed to by Clyde Pilkington to say that we don't have to be subject to any superior authorities because all national governments are illegitimate. Because this is talking about the apostles. Paul's talking about himself here. Let's go to the article by Mr. Gallantine here. Again, it is called, I hate this thing, but I have to go through it. Powers, Rulers, and Ministers of God, a study of Romans chapter 13. Oh, this guy, Gallantine, doesn't have a great track record in the scriptures. He believes in free will, eternal torment, the Trinity, the immortality of the soul, and this crazy thing. Did I miss one? Free will. Oh, I sure did miss one. He thinks that the King James Version is inspired by God. I mean, the English words, the these and the thys and the thous and the mistranslations of ion, how they mistranslated age in one place and forever in another place. Yeah, he thinks that that is inspired by God. They call these kinds of, if you haven't heard of these kinds of people, I warn you about them now, they're called King James only. See, they don't want to work very hard. They don't want to have to go to a concordance, look up words, study words in context. That's too much work. They just want really bad to have an English translation be the inspired word of God, so they don't have to go anywhere else. So, miracle of miracles, since the King James Version was called the Authorized Version, therefore, this is the word of God. Lazy, lazy man's way out. Anybody who is KJV only, they will never get the truth because of the 20,000 translating errors contained in the King James Version. So, Galantine is a King James only guy. He believes in free will. He believes in the Trinity. He believes in eternal torment. He believes in the immortality of the soul. And he believes this ridiculous teaching that Romans 13 applies to the apostles. All right, now on to the sickly details of the article. I'll go from least sickly to most sickly. Yeah, here we go. Historically, this is a quote, historically and of greater importance doctrinally, Paul the Apostle of and to the Gentiles is the higher power due to his office of apostleship with its corresponding gospel. So Paul is the higher power. Power of Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. His King James makes that higher power. So Paul's talking about himself. So why don't we just put Paul's name in there? Let every soul be subject to me. For there is no me except under God. Now those which are, that is me, have been set under God, so that he who is resisting me has withstood God's mandate. Now those who have withstood me will be getting judgment for themselves. For I am not a fear to the good act, but to the evil. Now you do not want to be fearing me, do you? Do good, and you will be having applause from me. For I am your servant for good. But now if you should be doing evil, fear, for not feignedly am I wearing the sword. For the sword and I, with my sword, am God's servant, an avenger for indignation to him who is committing evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be subject to me. A tool of indignation? An avenger for indignation? Paul himself said that the indignation of God would be coming on the world. And are we to believe that those in the body of Christ will be tasting the indignation of Paul with the sword in his hand? As I said yesterday, there was discipline, certainly, in the ecclesias. But it was not exercised by the sword. Do you know what Paul is saying here when he says, not feignedly is the authority wearing the sword? Oh, by the way, if you want to go along with the Constitution, which I love the Constitution, I love that I'm the one enthroned in the government. Yes, I'm the one that should be served here. Yes. So just put your name in there. Let every soul be subject to me. Let every soul be subject to me, including the government. Let the government be subject to me. For there is no authority except under God. That includes me. I'm an authority. I'm a sovereign in my own world, and the government lives to serve me. Well, that's a great thing. It's ideal, but again, the context is evil government. Back to the sword. The sword is speaking of Rome's power for capital punishment. Two forms of capital punishment in Rome were beheadings and drawn and quartered. Yeah, drawn and quartered. Very unpleasant situation to be drawn and quartered. They attached your limbs to a couple horses, you know, stretch you out, the little horses pull you, and then the guy with the sword just lops off your limbs. Very uncomfortable. You didn't go home the same way you came. You know, you kind of limped on the way home. No, actually, you kind of rolled on the way home. Very, very unpleasant. But that's how they killed you. But the main way they killed you was they chopped your head off. They decapitated you. Yeah, that was the way the Romans killed people. And guess how Paul was killed? By the sword. They cut his head off. That was the easiest, cheapest way to kill people in the Roman Empire. That's what the sword is doing here. Galantine says that Paul exercised that authority in the ecclesias. And we're going to get, well, actually, I just did get to that. And we're going to see how Galantine twists this tax thing. For thus also you are rendering taxes to the authority. He says, well, taxes have to do with you giving the apostles what they needed to do their beheading. I mean, their evangelizing. Okay, so, yes, Paul is the higher power of the context. Here's one for you. Listen to this. Quote, during the Acts period, as Romans was being written, Paul exercised his authority to bring physical signs of destruction unto those who opposed the preaching of his gospel. There was also a great spiritual loss in the blessedness of grace reigning when they rejected and spoke against Paul. Now, I will acknowledge to you that Paul did exercise authority in the ecclesias. I'm not questioning that. I'm not questioning that Paul did have an authority. But in Romans 13, Paul is not ordering people to be subject to him or to his friends in the other ecclesias. And the references here are ridiculous. I looked at every one of them. Acts 13:11. This was Paul blinding Bar-Jesus, who was the Jewish magician who was withstanding Paul and Barnabas as they tried to bring the evangel to Sergius Paulus, who was the first Gentile to become a member of the body of Christ. Paul said, Paul blinds the guy, right? Curses the guy. Yeah, okay, but he didn't decapitate him. He didn't charge him a tax. He said, you're blind for a season. And he didn't do anything to Sergius Paulus. And Duane admits that in Romans 13, Paul's talking to the body of Christ. So what is Paul bringing judgment of blinding upon this Jewish guy have to do with Paul writing to the body of Christ? Nothing. It's a stretch. I should go to every one of these just to show you how warped they are. I almost don't want to spend the time doing it because I want to get through. Let's go ahead. 1 Corinthians 4:21. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I told myself I wouldn't do it, but I'm thorough. That's the thing. 1 Corinthians 4:21. What are you wanting? With a rod may I be coming to you, or in love, in a spirit of meekness? With a rod. Okay, literal if possible. Yeah, Paul could be walking around with a stick, but there's no evidence that Paul ever walked around with a literal stick and beat people in the ecclesias. So the rod here is a figure for discipline. And Paul came with discipline. He's writing to the Corinthians. And the big issue in Corinth, they were very fleshly people, but the worst thing that was going on in Corinth was the man who was having sex with his stepmother. And what did Paul do? He went in there and chopped his head off, because not faintedly is Paul wearing the sword. And then he charged his family taxes. No, Paul said, don't eat with this guy. But let's take it literally. If we take it literally, like Galantine wants us to, this very verse disproves his ridiculous contention concerning Romans 13. Excuse me. Because Paul was carrying a rod. Paul says, I carry a rod. I beat the saints into submission. Galantine says he's carrying a sword. Oops, wrong. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 3 through 5. For I indeed, being absent in the body, yet present in spirit, have already, as if present, thus judged the one effecting this. Effecting what? Oh, yeah, that whole thing with the guy. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give up such a one to Satan for the extermination of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Lord Jesus. Okay, so Paul gave the guy up to Satan. Well, Martin, that's pretty tough. Yeah, but it's not walking around with a sword. It's not Paul avenging the guy. What does Paul say in Romans 12? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, says the Lord. But Paul knows that God works through the intermediary, namely Satan. So Paul just hands this guy over to Satan. If what Galantine's saying is true, then Paul should at least beat him with a rod. Okay, to show you that nobody should ever have his father's wife again, I'm going to beat this guy with a rod. Or I'm going to cut his head off. Let that be a warning to the rest of you. So this, even the proof text that Duane uses disprove his own teachings. It's not doing a very good job here. 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 30. This is proof that Paul had authority and exercises in the ecclesia, which he did, but it's not the authority spoken of here. Paul is speaking of, in Romans 13, magistrates, tax gatherers, and sword bearers. He's talking about, in this passage, talking about eating and drinking unworthily. Those who would take the Lord's dinner and eat and drink unworthily. And some of them were doing that were bringing judgment to themselves. Therefore, many among you are infirm and ailing, and considerable number are reposing. Did Paul make them sick? Did Paul kill them? Many are reposing because they ate and drank unworthily. I'm not here to explain the context or why there was some kingdom powers operating at this time. I'm just going to tell you that once again, Duane Galantine's proof goes against his own teaching. These people are bringing it on themselves. Paul isn't out there killing them or making them sick, poisoning their little bread. Poor Duane. This is sad. That Clyde should be recommending this article as truth is also sad. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13. Oh, God, I want to do this, but I'm going to do it. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13. Thanks for bearing with me. 2 Corinthians 12. I already did this. Indeed, the signs of an apostle are produced among you in all endurance, besides in signs and miracles and powerful deeds. For is there anything in which you are discomfited above the rest of the ecclesias, except that I myself am not an encumbrance to you? Deal graciously with me for this injustice. This is Paul kind of like saying, look, I'm sorry if I was a pain in the ass. I did signs among you. I endured you. I did miracles, powerful deeds. And if there was anything in which you were made uncomfortable by me, if you considered me an encumbrance, well, deal graciously with me for this injustice. It's a little bit of satire here, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. I know I was an encumbrance to you. I was a pain in the ass because I love you so much. So cut me a break. Deal graciously with me for the injustice of loving you so much. Basically what Paul's saying here. I don't see a literal stick. I don't see a sword. Duane Galantine, this is your proof? This is pitiful. Now I'm kind of glad that I'm doing this. But now I got off the page. Galatians 4:15, where then is your happiness? For I'm testifying to you that if possible, gouging out your eyes, you would give them to me. No, this can't be. What? No. Galatians 4:15, where then is your happiness? For I am testifying to you that if possible, gouging out your eyes, you would give them to me. I got it. Galantine thinks that Paul is gouging out the eyes of the saints with his sword after he beats them with his rod. That's a perfectly understandable misapplication here, misunderstanding. Misinterpretation, gouging out your eyes, like me gouging out your eyes, you would give them to me. Yeah, so Paul gouges out their eyes with his sword. Take that. Oh, so you're not going to be subject to me? You're not going to do what I tell you to do? You're not going to be nice to your brother? You're not going to love your neighbor? Well, come here. Come a little closer. Put your eye right up here close. Yeah, I'm going to gouge your eye out. And then he puts their eyeballs in their hand, and then they give their own eyes to Paul. That's what it is. They give their own eyes to Paul. That's the reference. Galatians 4:15. The worst is yet to come. I'm going to one more day on this, and hopefully I will get more objections so that I can explain them to you in my inimitable way. And we will get to the worst. The worst is yet to come for Mr. Galentine, I have to seal this coffin shut. I'm going to be done with this in a couple days, and I'll be reading the comments and dealing with objections as we go. And in the meantime, save your own lives, save your own souls, save yourselves a hell of a lot of trouble, pay your taxes, obey the authorities, bake them cookies when they come for your guns, bake them a cake, give them your guns. I don't have a gun. I understand why people have them. I defend everyone's right to have it. I get it, to protect your family. I get it. I get it. I get it. I've never had one. I don't know. Maybe it's just a stupid thing of trusting God. But I get it. I get it. We trust God, but we still have to defend ourselves. I get it. Don't come after me and say, Martin, you don't understand. Yes, I do. Have your guns. Have your guns. I don't like loud noises. That's my whole problem. If a robber came into my house, that's the whole issue. I hate loud noises. I don't like when coffee mugs make noises. Stuff drives me nuts. So I would stab an intruder probably because it's quiet. It's only quiet. It's why. So if, you know, I don't think they're going to come taking away my knife. And I'll probably use a steak knife too because I don't have any, you know, like Bowie knife, or I don't have any deer slayer knives. So no, that's not going to be a problem for me. It's not going to be a problem for me.